I feel envious than anything because Srila Prabhupada never spoke to me like that. Ramakrishna Maharaj would sit in front of Srila Prabhupada and they would discuss all kinds of things. And I would be envious because Srila Prabhupada never spoke to me like that. And Bhavananda Maharaj would come to Srila Prabhupada and Prabhupada would be so nice with him all the time. And all he ever did was hit me on the head. I'm envious because they all have such a deep relationship with Srila Prabhupada. Yet, in my case, I don't even understand that relationship very well. All I know is that every time I wanted to be close with Srila Prabhupada, he would end up taking off his club and just cracking my head. This went on consistently. It's very difficult to understand because when I was secretary, I tried to imitate former secretaries and all I did was get smashed to pieces. When I was servant, I tried to imitate former servants and it never worked. When I was GBC and I came to visit, I tried to imitate other GBCs who came to visit and it didn't work. When Prabhupada was going to leave the planet, I couldn't even be part of that. I was not part of that. I was not part of Prabhupada's appearance past time in the Western world. I was not part of Prabhupada's disappearance past time in the manifested universe. I always lamented why I was so stupid, wasting my time in the university in 1969 doing nothing, when Srila Prabhupada was downstairs in my dormitory, sitting there. I walked right through the room, didn't even know him, didn't see him, didn't see the devotees, didn't see anything, just walked right through, didn't see him, didn't see anybody, never heard of him. Until 4 years later, the person I was living with said, "Do you remember that Swami who was in our dormitory that day?" I said, "What Swami?" Later on, I told this to Srila Prabhupada. He just laughed. I then asked, "Why didn't I see you then? I always wanted to be part of this first place." He just shook his head. "You were not ready." I hung my head on the floor. Then I remember when Srila Prabhupada was departing, I wanted to be there. There were so many things, huge court cases. Prabhupada was happy if I gave him some books, so I wanted to make so many books. I was running around, going to printers. I just gotten another batch of books ready to bring to Srila Prabhupada, and then he disappeared. I wasn't part of Prabhupada's pastime, and I don't feel that I ever really personally associated with him. And on his disappearance day, I don't feel apart. Yet, I was trying to understand why. Then I understood just listening to everybody today for the first time. This has been very instructive. In 1976, in January, Prabhupada sent me away. He sent me away and he gave me the instruction that was to be the instruction by which I was always to remember him. He always used to chastise me on this one point. Why I always insist on being with him personally and why I don't understand his instructions. Why are you always so attached to this so-called personal association? Don't you understand that the Vani is more important than the Vaku? Don't you understand that I want you to do something? Then I was always trying to again come back to Srila Prabhupada. Even after he had sent me away to perform his services. I understand now. That was the final sending away at that time. I was not going to have that personal relationship that I always had. I was just sent away, menial servant. One time I tried to possibly put myself back into Prabhupada's association. After about 3 days of being Prabhupada's secretary in 1976, in August, when he was in New Mayapur, France, Prabhupada asked me to write a letter and I spelled every other word wrong. I'm a horrible speller. He wanted to get rid of me then and there, after 3 days, because I was such a terrible speller. And why I didn't use a dictionary? Actually, I had to take a devotee as my editor. He had to edit the whole letter because I was so hopeless. I said to Srila Prabhupada, "But your other secretaries can't spell either. I've seen. Why are you chastising me for not being able to spell and now kicking me away?" And then he was very insistent. He was chastising me for everything I did. I was getting more and more upset and I was holding on more and more. "No, I won't go. I refuse." It became a huge battle. "Go away." "No, I won't." And then more and more beating and beating and beating and beating. Finally, at the end of it, all this eating here in Vrindavan, I came and said, I quit. I can't take it anymore. He said, you can't quit. I fire you. Even to the last. Yeah, go, serve. I said, I don't want to go back. There's so many troubles in that place I came from. He said, I don't care what you do when you go back there. You just sit there in your room and chant Hare Krishna, but stay there. I said, how can I go traveling alone in the mountains? No strong association. Nobody will go with me. Too dangerous. He said, then you go alone. You should be very careful of this so-called strong association. Contradicting again and again everything I said. One time there was nothing to eat. Srila Prabhupada, he said, then eat meat if we have to. I said, but what about my consciousness? He said, damn your consciousness, you have to preach. He just bewildered me. Unbending, he wanted it done, that's all. Make my books, distribute my books, preach, that's all. Don't come back here crawling on the floor, wanting to sit in front of me and wave your fingers. I was typing his books, listening to his latest words in my ear, completely happy. He wanted these things, he's very insistent. Because I would probably get lost in sentimentality, I don't think I would have been able to tolerate Prabhupada's disappearance. Even to this day, I cannot stand to see a picture of Prabhupada's disappearance. I cannot stand to hear descriptions of Prabhupada's disappearing. I don't watch Yadubara movie because of this, and he doesn't like that, but I just can't stand it. I don't know. I'm too sentimental. I can't stand it. Prabhupada knew me perfectly. He dealt with me in a completely unique way, just to circumvent the sentimentality and make me attached to his instructions. Prabhupada dealt with each and every one of us so perfectly, every single devotee, so uniquely. No one can say they have a complete picture of Srila Prabhupada. You can't even know one small feature, because in each and every circumstance, how Prabhupada dealt with everybody was so unique and marvelous, just like Krishna. You cannot know Krishna fully. His glories are unlimited. You can see in Prabhupada's dealings how he is manifesting more and more of his energies, his shaktis, making devotees do things that are inconceivable all over the world. Inconceivable things. I'll never forget what Satswarup Maharaj once wrote in his Black Gothic editorial on charisma. A police captain in New York City said, do you know why this New York Radha Yatra is a success? Because the Swamiji wanted it so, because he wanted it. Everybody can understand Prabhupada's potency, how Prabhupada is forcing us to just push on more and more. Gradually, as the years go on, I understand the Vani is Prabhupada. I'm somewhat more satisfied, although I'm sure if I had the opportunity, I would still be diving at a lotus feet and saying, take me with you. But we have this responsibility, regardless of our feelings or separation in ISKCON. In all circumstances, just keep on printing, keep on distributing, keep on building, and keep on working together. Just so we can massage the transcendental body of Srila Prabhupada all together. Each one of us is taking a portion of his body and massaging it so that he will be satisfied and comfortable. Somebody is massaging Srila Prabhupada in this way, somebody in that way. But as long as it's all pleasing Srila Prabhupada, that should be our whole pleasure. Jaya Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.
Discuss the verse from Bhagavad Gita as it is. Shall we chant Jai Radha Madhava?
Jai Radha Madhava, Kunjari Hari, Jai Radha Madhava. Yodana
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. So we're going to read from Bhagavad Gita, today's chapter 11, the universal form, text 40. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Krishna, his friend Arjuna, is offering his respects from all sides. He is accepting that he is the master of all potencies and all powers and far superior to all the great warriors assembled on the battlefield. It is said in the Vishnu Purana 1.9.69, Yoyam Savagato Deva Samitham Devata Ganaha Satham Eva Jagat Srashta Katasat Sarva Gato Bhavan. Whoever comes before you, be he a demigod, is created by you, the Supreme Personality of God.
ओम अज्ञान सुविधस्य ज्ञान तस्म श्री गुरु नमः श्री चैतन्य मनोविष्टम स्थापित भूतले स्वयं रूप कदमाय जगति स्वप्रदाचित संदेहम श्री गुरु श्री सरगमन श्री गुरु वैष्णवाक्ष श्री रूपम सागरजातम सरगण रघुनाथम संत जीवम सद्वैतम सावधूतम हरिजन सहितम कृष्ण चैतन्य देवम श्री राधा कृष्ण पद सरगण ललिता श्री विशाखांश हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीन बंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्ते कर्क कांत गौरांगे आदि बृंदावनेश्वरी ऋषभानु सुत देवी धनमानी हरि प्रिय पंचाकर्तृभ्य पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो हे श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदेव हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Hare Krishna. Welcome to the Bhagavad Gita series, Saturday's class. We would like to thank the committee members of organizing this festival, Chari Festival. Pongo over there, Pongo CC, right? Giving us the opportunity to speak on Bhagavad Gita in a public forum. Okay, I will read the translation. Obeisances to you from the front, from behind, and from all sides. O unbounded power, you are the master of limitless might. You are all pervading and thus you are everything. So Arjuna is praising his friend Krishna, Lord Krishna. Now he's, after looking at the big Vishwa Rupa, he's saying, you know, you are the supreme. He is accepting this because he has got the devotional eyes. It's not that everybody looks at Krishna and says, oh, you are God. Only by developing the devotional attitude, you are able to accept the Supreme Personality of God, Krishna, as He is. But before you come to this platform, you have to understand that we are but a spirit soul. We are a jivatma. So we have to understand this. We have to completely understand. Otherwise, it's difficult to come to another platform of understanding God. Who are we? Are we this body? First, we have to ask ourselves. The first question is, who am I? Am I this body? Am I this hand? The leg, the nose, the ear, who am I? So finally you come to the conclusion that you are not the body. I am not the head. I am not the hand. If I chop off my hands or fingers, I won't say, you know, I am gone. My hand is gone. Who is my? I. That realization that there's someone else inside. That's like a person who dies. And the person is dead, you say the person is gone. But the body is still there. Still in the funeral house or the home or in the box or something. Or you bury or something. People still say, oh, the body is still there. But you say, it's gone. Who is gone? The consciousness is gone. Consciousness of that person is gone. So we can understand that we are not this body, we are consciousness. We are the Jivatma, the small consciousness, the tiny, tiny little thing that's in the heart, that's beating. Without that Jivatma, the body is not alive. The heart is pumping, but once the energy leaves the body, the heart stops pumping. So it's dead. So we are lamenting for that Jiva. You can call it Jivatma, you can call it the energy of the body is gone. Where is it gone? Right? Where is it gone? It's not just disappearing, you know, into the water or the air or something. This energy cannot be destroyed. Right? The energy is always transforming only, you know. Even in physical, in material world, you can see energy is transforming from one type of energy to another type of energy. It's always transforming. But this Jivatma is spirit soul. It never moves away, it is always the same. If it leaves this body, it will take another body. So, be it animal body or human body, it doesn't matter, but it has to take a body. It cannot be just lying around doing nothing. It has to have activity, because all of us, we know we are full of activities. We cannot just sit in one place and keep quiet. We try. A lot of people do yoga and sit around doing yoga and concentrating. 5 minutes, not even 1 minute, the mind goes away, something else. Always thinking of something. So the body is not, the Jivatma is not able to control the mind. So we know that we are not the body. We are Jivatma. So there are so many Jivatmas. So what happened? There must be somebody who is more superior to us, the one who has created us. That is called as Paramatma. Paramatma is the Supreme Lord. So we come to the understanding that the Supreme Lord. So the Lord is understood in three different ways. Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. In three different ways we can understand the Lord. Some people who are starting off with studying the Vedas and all that, they will come to understand that the Lord is all pervasive. They will understand that the Lord is everywhere. The Lord is here, is in every jiva, every living entity. The Lord is in every atom. That is their conclusion. But they stop there, then they will only understand that the Lord is Brahman. There's nothing else. But if they practice a little bit more, if they practice a little bit more of understanding who they are, who is Krishna, who is the Lord, then they will come to the next platform that they will understand, or they will realize by practicing sadhana, by practicing they will realize that there is a Paramatma. There is a, in everybody's heart region, there is a Lord, the Lord in his partial manifestation as Paramatma. He is there. He is the witness. He is the one who says, oh, you are doing this. He is looking what you are doing. How you are practicing your life. Is it a moral life? Is it an immoral life? You're doing the right things, not the right things. How do you know? Some people say, how I know I'm right? How am I to know what is wrong? Krishna is merciful. The Lord is merciful. He has given the scriptures. He has given everything. All the things that you need to know how to do right or wrong is in the scriptures. So if you read the scriptures, you know what you are doing is right or what you are doing is wrong. So you have to follow it. If you don't follow, the Paramatma in the heart is watching, is looking. He is saying, yes, you are doing right, you are doing wrong. So like this, he will award you your next life or your next birth. You may even go back to God, depending on how you formulate and mold your life. So, if you stop there, then you say, oh, that's it. I realize Paramatma, that's it, no more. No, but if you continue with your devotional service, you will realize that there is a Bhagavan aspect. Bhagavan is Supreme Person. There's a person. God created all of us in His image. So now, we understand there is a person, God. How do I go to Him? I have to go to Him by performing devotional service. Because if you have a wife or a husband, a child, how do you reciprocate with those people? Right? The person is there, you say, oh, you do this, you don't do that to your child. Your wife will say, buy you some presents. Husband will say, I cook nice food for you. Like this, there's always a relationship with the husband and wife, children and the parents. So like this, the Jivatma can have a relationship with the Supreme Lord, Krishna. That is the thing that you need to start. And in Kali Yuga, this age is called Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga means the age of Ayang, where there is a lot of hypocrisy and quarrel. Everybody is quarreling, nobody is at peace. Everybody wants peace, but they don't know where to find. So every end of the year, they will book a ticket, go overseas, and look for a place. This beach is beautiful, I will have peace. But that's only for 1 or 2 weeks, and then they come back. After they come back, they are back into the same old grind. The persons are giving them trouble. Businessmen are having problems with their customers. Payment is late. You chase them. So many things. Now, you see, this is happening. So we are always in trouble. We are never happy. We are always troubled by our mind. Because our mind is always saying this is not right, that is not right. Our body is always having some kind of disease, some pain, toothache, stomach pain, gastric pain. Always our stomach is giving some, our body is giving us some pain. Can't sit for too long, knee will be gone, cannot stand up after that. So like that, body is giving pain. Mind is giving pain. Friends and relatives are giving pain. Nobody, everybody, you got money, they all come to your house. Camp in your place. If you no money, they say, get out. So there's always some problem in this material world. Sometimes there's too much rain. Past few months, no rain. It's too hot. Don't want to go out. Stay in the home. Switch on aircon. So in this material world, like that, material world, there's no, you can't find peace. You can't find happiness. The happiness and the peace are fleeting, very short time. It comes and it goes. And it's interspersed with anxiety. It always has problems, like I mentioned. So we must understand where is the internal peace. We must come to the understanding. We can come to that understanding by reading Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna, God has given us all the books, but not one of us want to take out the book and read it. Always we say we have no time. Why we have no time? Oh, I have to get up early in the morning, I have to, get ready to go to school and study, I have to homework, and I have so many things to do. But we have 24 hours, everybody has the same number of hours. Most of the time, if you rationally look at your time management, then you will see that you are wasting so much time. A lot of time is wasted doing unnecessary things. Totally unnecessary. Sometimes you say, oh, I'm tired today. I just relax and watch TV. So much time is wasted. So if you can spare that time, at least half an hour a day to take up the Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam to read something, then you can make some progress in realizing. Because every day you read half an hour, this half an hour adds up in your lifetime. Just sit down now for a moment and think, how old are you? How much time have I spent reading the book? No, not much. I've heard of Bhagavad Gita since I was young. I'm now 50 years old. I've not touched the book. I have no time. Past 50 years, no time. This is our problem. Because we give priority to other things in life, which are not eternal. All the things that we're doing in our life, it is not eternal. Only devotional service reading the Bhagavad Gita is eternal. Krishna says that if you read Bhagavad Gita or take up devotional service, simply hearing or reading, that is a plus point in your devotional life. So that even if you take birth again, you start from where you stop in devotional life. But if you had not done anything, then you start, oh, Krishna wants to help you, also can I help you? You know, like some people say, you know, pray to God now, please give me $1 million, please give me $1 million. But they don't go and buy the ticket. It's difficult, no? How to give you the money? You don't want to do it. It's like that, you know. I mean, I'm just giving an example. But people are like that. Say, God, please help me. Take me back to Godhead. I don't want these things. But you don't want to do anything. You carry on doing a nonsense. That's the problem. You shouldn't do that. You should give some time to Krishna or God. You have to, no matter what religion you are, you have to do that. Some portion of your time has been set aside for the Lord, who created you, who gave you this body. This human form of body is very rare. See, in this world, there are 8,400,000 species of life. I mean, of course, scientists will say they are more undiscovered, but in the Bhagavatam, in the Puranas, it's stated there are 8,400,000 species of life. Only in the human body can we utilize this body to understand God. No other bodies you don't see a dog taking up a Bhagavad Gita and say, oh, Hare Krishna, you know, reading it. No! You don't see a monkey doing it. I mean, scientists say you are cousins of the monkeys. The monkeys don't read, you know. Monkeys don't take up books. Right? Only human beings we can take up a book. When we can take up a book, we can understand who is God. Understand? We have to read. And we understand what is devotional service. Devotional service means we have to serve the Supreme Person who is Krishna. Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. This we have mentioned before. From Krishna is the source of everything. That's why Arjuna is saying, he's getting the ecstasy that he sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's not possible to see with our material eyes. The eyes that you need to see the God is spiritualized. The eyes have been spiritualized. There's a story, I'll tell you one story. There's this guy called Murgari. He's a thief. He's in the Puranas. He's a hunter. So Murgari used to hunt. He's been taught by his father, and his father is a hunter, he's a hunter, so he learned. But he'll always go and hunt, use arrow to shoot, kill the animal. Kill. Very expert in killing. After some time, he became bored. It's so easy to kill, no? Just shoot animal that finish. What he did, he's not happy. So he shoot the animal such that it doesn't die. The animal will not immediately die. It will writhe in pain. He will name it such that the animal suffers. Then he look. Yes, he's dying now. He become happy seeing animal dying like that. He will not kill it off. You know? So, it's very cruel the way he kills animals. So people around there avoided him. So you know, this guy, I don't want any association with this person because he's such a rascal. He wants to kill, you can kill, but you kill him such way, not nice. So one day, Narada Muni came. He was walking past and he saw all these animals on the road, on the forest and all that. They were giving up their life, but not yet. They were suffering. Who is this person killing these animals like this? Either you kill them straight away or don't kill them. Then finally, as he was walking, he saw this Murgari killing another, aiming to kill another animal. So, Narada Muni went up and said, hey, Prabhu, stop it. Why are you killing? oh, I got nothing to do. I'm so expert in peeling that I feel bored. Now I just want for fun, I'm peeling all these things. These animals this way. So Narayana said, no, you should not be doing this, you know. This is very bad. You should not kill. If you can kill, but kill for what you want. You want one chicken, you kill. You want one goat, you kill and eat and everything. But you don't leave animals dying like this. This is not good. And Vajra said, well, what to do? You know, I need some engagement, you know. I don't know what I want to do. Then Narayana said, okay, you follow what I say. You will be happy and your family will be provided for. You just follow what I say. Then Vajra said, okay, if you can promise me that I will be happy and I can provide for my family. You know, every one of us, you know, we are working because we want to provide, right, for our family members, you know. We all want to do that. Nobody is denying that we should work or we shouldn't work. No, we should work. Support your family. So Narayana Muni said, okay, you have to. This is your duty. You have to support your family. And you will be satisfied. So Narayana Muni said, okay, what you do, you give me a bow and arrow and break it and throw it away. But he said, no, that is my livelihood. You know, how what I want to do. I only know how to do this. I only know how to kill animals. Narayana Muni said, no, I will teach you another way. Another job, and now economic problem, huh? You must learn how to change jobs, you know. So he is telling, okay, you change job now. Then he said, what am I going to do? Say, okay, you going to build a hut. You stay in the hut. You come out, you plant the tulasi. You plant tulasi, you know. Tulasi is a holy plant. Okay. And he says, you do, every day you do puja. You pray to the tulasi and you do puja. So he said, okay, I will follow your instructions. I accept you as my guru. I'll do what you say. Then he did. And when he started doing that, the people in the village, they said, hey, this man has changed. So they say, they found that this guy is no longer abominable or evil, associate with him. They started visiting him, and every time they went to see him, they brought him food. Fruits, food, vegetables, everything they want. And every day somebody would bring him something. Like that he became very happy and he was chanting in the holy names of the Lord. Like that. So after some time his guru Narada Muni came back. And this time Mrigadhari from his heart saw Narada Muni coming. And when he ran towards his guru, he was hip hopping, one foot like that and jumping like this, one foot like that, one foot, you know, hip hop, hip hop, hip hop. And Narayana Muni said, looking, why this guy is keep walking towards me, he's not walking towards me. Why is he trying to do? When he came close and paid his obeisances, he says, Guru Maharaj, welcome. And Narayana Muni asked him, why are you doing? I saw you didn't walk here, you didn't run to me, you were keep walking. What happened? Oh, on the path towards coming towards you, I saw all the ants. So I was trying to avoid the ants. I didn't want to kill the ants. So Narayana Muni said, just see, just by praying to Tulasi and chanting the holy name, this person changed from killing animals, enjoying killing animals, to a person who totally doesn't even want to hurt a single living entity. So this is the power of chanting the holy name. Simply by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, every day this person changes. If this person who is so, how should I say, very abominable, that's a word I can find, so horrid, he can change simply by chanting the holy name. I'm sure all of us who are not, I hope, not killing people and animals, we also can change. And that is very important. We have to understand, we must become Krishna conscious. We must become God conscious. Then only we can become more and more loving towards each other. So then we recognize that everybody else is Jiva. Everybody is a living entity. Why I must harm another person? So that we come to that level. So Arjuna has come to that level. A level of devotional service which he can see the Supreme Lord himself. So he has come to that level, and then when he came to that level by serving Krishna, Krishna gave him the eyes filled with love to see him as he is.
I think the charity is coming soon, right? So maybe we shall tell another story, how to see God. People want to see God, you know. Always they think, I want to see God, you know, but you're not qualified. So to become qualified, there's this story of Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj was a young boy, he was about 4 or 5 years old. His father was the king of the world at that time. So when his father had two wives, the first wife and the second wife's children, he was more favorable. See, he liked the children. First wife he didn't like so much. So the first wife's son was Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj went to his father and wanted to sit on his lap. So the father, you know, and the stepmother said, no, you have no right because you are not favored. So the boy, 4 years old, now wanted to sit on the father's lap, but chased away. So he cried, of course, you know, you want to sit on the father's lap, everybody chased away, he is crying. So he cried and went to his mother. My mother said, don't worry. There's nothing to worry about. If you really want anything in this world, if you want the favor of your father, or you want the kingdom, anything, you just approach the Supreme Lord, Krishna. So then the boy said, how? So you have to go to the forest and you have to meditate. And the Lord will give you everything. So this four or five years old, this boy, and he's very determined. Very determined. So straight away he went to the forest. On the way to the forest, Narada Muni again. Narada Muni is the spiritual master. He is a very elevated Vaishnava. So he saw this boy. So he was saying, small boy, where are you going? So I'm going to the forest to seek out the Lord. And Narada Muni said, no. You are a small boy, you go and play. You know, you are 4 years old, 5 years old, you shouldn't be coming out into the forest, you shouldn't be wasting your time like this. There are too many animals, tigers and all that. They will eat you up. Don't do that. Go back home. Go back to the shelter of your father and mother. No, I'm not going to go back. If you can help me, say something, otherwise carry on moving. You don't say, you know, I want to do this. I want to find out where the Lord. Narada Muni tested him, found out that this boy is very determined to know this, who is the Lord. So Narada Muni said, okay, I'll give you the mantra. You just chant this, Om Namo Narayana, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Just like that, he gave him that mantra. So he goes to the forest and he chants. Dhruva Maharaj, even though he was 5 years old, 4 or 5 years old, he went into the forest and he started meditating. Very, very severe meditation. Always chanting the holy name. Coming. One announcement is coming.
Hare Krishna, sorry to interrupt. Those who are going to be involved in the procession and who are going to offer the plates with flowers and all to Lord Murugan, you can please make your way to purchase the receipts at the table just right over here. Each platter is equivalent to one receipt, and each receipt costs $6. So those who want to offer this plate to Lord Murugan, please go over to the table over there where they are sitting down and collecting money for the receipts and the letter. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
So the Ratan is coming already. So this story I'll just try and make it short. So Dhruva Maharaj meditated and the Supreme Lord appeared before him. So By chanting the holy name, the Lord will appear before you if you are very, very serious. And the Lord granted him whatever he wanted. But Dhruva Maharaj didn't want anything. But because he was asking in his heart that he wanted the kingdom, Krishna gave him the pole star, Dhruva Loka. So that is how he got the Dhruva Loka. And we shall stop here now. I can't continue because the rhythm is here already. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.